Hi, this is McKenna Kay, and today I'm interviewing Brian Shaw about his military service. So my first question for you is, where were you born?
I was born in Chicago, Illinois, in 1968.
How old were you when you enlisted?
I was 20 when I enlisted and 21 when I went into the United States Marine Corps.
Wow. Why did you join the U.S. military?
It was something that I always wanted to do. I always wanted to travel. I always wanted to experience something different in life. At the time, I was going to a junior college, and I finished my associate's degree, and I just wanted a little bit of adventure in my life, and I felt kind of an obligation to serve my country.
Right. What was your position or occupation?
So I was getting out of the military. I was a non-commissioned officer. I was a corporal in the United States Marine Corps. My job, or military occupational skill, MOS for short, I was a 6322, which is an avionics technician on CH-46 Echo helicopters.
Wow.
It's a tandem rotor helicopter. It looks like a big flying cigar.
Did you have to have training for it?
I did. I enlisted for 5 years because the schooling for that field was almost a year long. So.
Wow. How long did you serve for?
5 years total.
5 years, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Did serving change your view about the world?
Oh, yeah, a great deal. It definitely opened my eyes to a lot of different cultures and countries and just the way things are in the world, basically.
And what was like the biggest like cultural difference that you encountered?
You know, when I was in some of the Mediterranean countries, I noticed that life was a little bit slower.
Right.
It was a little bit different atmosphere. People had more time to just be. Life didn't seem as busy as it is here in the U.S.
Did you prefer that, or did you like it more busy, like the U.S.?
You know what? I would like to take a siesta in the middle of the afternoon. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
So what were you told about the region that you went to?
So the places that I had been in the military, places along the Mediterranean. I was in Spain, Italy, Greece. A couple islands off the coast of Turkey. I was in Israel. So some of those areas are quite a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Take, for instance, Israel. Israel was, and this is in 1992,
right.
Israel was a little bit intimidating because they had towers with armed guards carrying Uzis.
Wow.
So that was a little intimidating. Being in Greece, I was in a situation where I was guarding some aircraft, and there were Greek guards also guarding aircrafts and, you know, holding weapons. And,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't really, I was hoping that, you know, they were, you know, well-trained and
right.
didn't make any mistakes.
Other
places that I had been, actually, I was in Tunisia as well. That was a very poor, poor country, you know, a lot of poverty. So that was a little... eye-opening and, you know, disheartening.
Right. What was your, I don't know, maybe favorite place to go to?
Actually, my favorite place was Spain. Spain was beautiful.
Yeah.
There was a town in Spain called Benidorm. It's in the upper eastern region of Spain. And one horizon you had the mountains, and the other horizon you had the beaches, and in the foothills they had cobblestone streets with different shops and pubs and restaurants, and it was actually an English colony, so everyone spoke English.
Oh, that's so nice.
You know, from England, so it was very fun. It was one of the most beautiful places I've been to.
It sounds beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So where you were, did you believe that military force was necessary?
Well. We do things, or they did do things, I'm not sure exactly how it works now, but back in the 80s and 90s, we did a thing called med cruises, and had to take a NATO force out there and patrol that area of the world. And do I think it's necessary? Yeah, I think it's necessary. I think us, along with other allies, need to make sure that, you know, things around the world are safe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that kind of goes into my next question. Do you think the U.S. has the right to fight preemptive wars?
I think that the world has an obligation to police itself. I think more countries should be on board and kind of just watch what's going on and try and side with the greater good and more so peacefully than anything else. I don't believe in just arbitrarily, you know, taking control by force. I feel that negotiation, mediation, embargoes, things like that should try and run their course. But I think that any type of preemptive war or military strike, military occupations, military campaigns should be a last resort.
Right. Do you think that limits should be placed on civil liberties when war is going on?
Yes and no. I don't think anyone's civil liberty should be taken away. The only thing that I will say is that there could be certain possibilities where some sort of military rule needs to be put in place, and that's in a very, very slight and extraneous circumstance. But for the safety of American people, I would say that that would be something that, you know, probably shouldn't happen, but if need be, there should be things put in place. But I believe with all my heart that people's liberties should be preserved, if at all possible.
Right. So did the media accurately report the issues that were going on where you were?
No.
No?
Absolutely not.
What was the difference?
They don't know, or they don't tell a lot of things.
Yeah,
so,
like what?
I think this is declassified, but there was an incident. I was aboard the USS Iwo Jima, and we were running NATO. It was a thing called display determination. All the NATO forces show their military might, their naval might, in the region around Turkey, Israel. What happened was we accidentally locked onto a Turkish vessel and destroyed it. And there was a lot of casualties. It was a very, very sad thing. Mm-hmm. But it was never reported. I never heard anything about it in the media or whatnot. And this was something that was an accident. It was friend against friend. Just one, you know, example of something that happened that no one else heard of until now.
When you were fighting, what would you do in your free time, if you had any?
Well, the only time that I was in a combat situation was in 1992 when I was in the Adriatic Sea aboard the USS Iwo Jima. This was during the breakup of Yugoslavia. Me being an avionics technician, my job was to make sure that the helicopters were flying and they were working, whether it be flying with the helicopter to see, you know, what if I could diagnose a problem or just, you know, maintenance. There was very few times that I had landed in a hot zone with the troops, so I was pretty well protected. There was an incident where we were afraid of being shelled, but other than that, I was pretty safe. But during those kind of operations, we would work 12 hours on and 12 hours off, 7 days a week. So being aboard the ship during my off time, we used to play cards, we used to play dominoes, and write letters, read, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. It was a little scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, it got a little scary at times.
Mm-hmm. So did you make any good friends while you were?
I did. I made a lot of good friends, and I do keep in touch with a handful of
them.
It's kind of neat, especially now with social media, it's a lot easier to keep in touch.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah. Have you ever, like, met up with them?
Yes, I have, as a matter of fact. Wow. I had a friend buy a house in a place in Indiana during the wintertime when he thought he was moving into a good neighborhood, but moved into the worst neighborhood.
Oh, no.
It was so bad. But yeah, it was. I don't see people as often anymore, but we do keep in touch.
Mm-hmm. And so, were there ever times where you were scared for your life?
I won't say like scared for my life because I wasn't in that kind of situation,
right.
Thank goodness. But I was a little bit nervous for, you know, some friends that I knew,
for
and
sure.
You know, just maybe a little anxious at times. Actually, it's kind of funny when you're in a situation where you are a little bit nervous, you start thinking about faith.
Right.
And you know, I was never a real praying kind of person, but I kind of did it in certain times,
mm-hmm.
you know, at that point in my life.
Interesting. What was it like the conditions where you were, like, where you slept and what you ate?
Well, there was various places and things. I could talk about being aboard the ship. Being aboard the ship was very confining.
Mm-hmm.
There were eight bunks on one side of the hall and eight bunks on the other, and there's about 2.5 space in between, and then there was right next to you 8 other bunks, and so you were like crammed in there pretty much like a sardine. So
yeah.
it was you know, it was not that great. Living outside in a tent had some pluses and minuses, especially
yeah.
when it rained. Living in a fighting hole had some pluses and minuses,
yeah.
especially if you were in the desert. I remember we spent 3 days in a fighting hole that we dug out, and when we were packing up and leaving, I realized that one of our bunk buddies was this big scorpion, so I was glad that he didn't shake hands with us
yeah,
earlier.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
what about the food? Was it any good?
No.
Yeah,
no,
that's what I thought.
It was not good.
Can't be.
Uh-uh.
So you wrote a lot to your family?
I did. You know, back then, in the, late 80s, early 90s, it was, snail mail. There was no, we didn't really have cell phones,
right.
Things of that nature. So, yeah, I wrote, you know, fairly often, not probably as often as they would have liked, but,
yeah.
Who'd
you write to, mainly?
I wrote to my brother, I wrote to my parents, you know, some friends. That
mm-hmm.
was mainly.
Interesting.
Good.
Okay, I want to save this question for last because I have some more.
Okay.
What, I don't know how to put this into words.
Okay, take your time.
Did you have any regrets joining?
I'll tell you a funny story, okay?
Okay,
you'll like this. This was, but this was like the very first week of a boot camp, okay?
Okay.
So we get in there and it's the first 3 days is called I can't even remember what the first days 3 days are called. Well, they keep you awake for 3 days.
Oh.
Okay, it's called receiving barracks. You receive and they teach you how to, you know, come to attention, you know, yes sir, no sir. They teach you all this rhetoric, and you know, we're tired. You know, they're trying to brainwash you a little bit by keeping you awake and you know, doing crazy things like we're scrubbing floors with toothbrushes and whatnot. But we were thinking, well, this isn't so bad. You know, they're not so cruel. You know, it's a little bit nicer than what, you know, we've been told. So we're like, okay. So after 3 days, they march us to our barracks where we're going to spend the next 3 months. And the commanding officer gets up. We're sitting on the quarter deck on the floor, you know, and there's a podium, and the officer comes up and introduces himself and tells us about his command and blah, blah, blah. And then he introduces us to the senior drill instructor. Senior drill instructor walks up, you know, with that big impressive smoky hat on and everything, you know, looking at us very intense and, you know, just, you know, the epitome of a Marine, you know, just talking to you and talking very stern and everything. And flanked on either side of him are the junior drill instructors who look like these massive chips of boulders, you know, just with their arms crossed and kind of looking, you know, very, very intimidating. And so once he was done with his speech, he turned us over to the junior drill instructors, and they proceeded by yelling and screaming and throwing footlockers and racks and everything and yelling and screaming. And then they came up to this one kid sitting next to me, I'll never forget this, and they saw he was wearing a cross, a crucifix, and this guy, he looked like a skeleton, his face looked like a skull, and he had a southern accent, and I'll never forget what he said to him. I'm going to try and imitate exactly okay. how he spoke. He said, "You think Jesus can help you here? Jesus can't help you. No one can." And we were all like, "Oh!" Yeah. And right then I said, "God, I made the biggest mistake of my life."
Right.
But you know, other than that, you know, boot camp was trying and whatnot. You know, when we got through, we were all very proud. Mm-hmm. And I was very fortunate because I wasn't in the kind of bad situations that a lot of Marines or people in the service had been after, which, you know, Desert Storm, Desert Shield, Afghanistan, you know, things like that. I was very, very fortunate. I saw very little combat, so I was very, very proud to serve my country. Mm-hmm. It was a really great experience. It gave me a lot of leadership qualities and traits that I use to this day. So
right.
So it was a very positive experience for me.
I'm glad it was. Yeah. But were you ever concerned that you could have ended up in those places?
I was concerned, but when you're young like that and you know that that's your job, you don't care. You want that.
Right.
I was like bummed that I wasn't in like a more intense situation. That's mm-hmm. what I wanted. Mm-hmm. So no, I would have loved the opportunity, and even to this day, I mean, you know, obviously the older Brian Shaw says, you know, thank goodness, you know, you weren't in that. But, you know, the younger one that was a Marine was always like, God, I want to be here. I want to mm-hmm. be there. I want to be doing everything, you know.
Right.
So.
Right. What was your biggest takeaway from fighting?
My biggest takeaway was I liked the sense of camaraderie between people in my unit in the Marine Corps. You could just walk into a bar in the Philippines and, you know, if you see another Marine there, they have your back. I like that sense of camaraderie and, you know, you know that people are there to help you out. And you know, kind of, I missed that when I got out and, you know, went back to the civilian sector. You realize that people didn't have your back as much as you would like.
Yeah.
You know.
So what was it like coming back home?
Weird. It was weird.
Yeah.
It was just didn't know how to act,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it took a while. I would wake up and think that I was somewhere, you know,
right.
weird, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it took a few years to really get my mind back to mm-hmm. civilian life.
Did you like go back to school or did you start working or anything?
Both. I went back to school and I started working, and you know, after I think I was home for about a month, I went to my parents' house, and then I just felt that need to just be on my own. So
right.
I got a place, and
mm-hmm.
you know, I just never looked back.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And did you go anywhere outside of Illinois living wise?
No, I
no.
didn't. No.
You like it here?
Yes and no. I'm getting tired of the winters. I'm getting too old.
Oh, I feel that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so cold.
I would like to move to Florida.
Me too.
Yeah.
First I wanted to ask.
Okay.
What was like the youngest person you saw, like either in camps or like someone you worked with?
In the Marine Corps?
Mm-hmm.
17, I think.
There
was a, I remember in boot camp, there was a couple that were 17 that they had gotten to be in for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the stipulation was, but yeah, 17.
Yeah, did you meet any, like, interesting people while you were there?
No.
No?
Okay. No, of course, I met a lot of interesting people.
Yeah,
from all walks of life, from, you know, very, very elite, coming from very rich elite families
mm-hmm.
to coming from poverty, from every ethnicity, every color, every race, but we were all green.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you're in the Marine Corps, you're
yeah.
you're green. You know, so.
So, do you have a greater appreciation for your country now?
Oh, I love my country.
Right.
I the reason why I joined was because of my love for the country, and you know that I don't think that's ever changed. You know. I think that a lot of people take being an American, you know, a United States citizen for granted because we have so many advantages. Is it a perfect society? No, very far from it. Do we have a lot of problems? Yes, we do. But do we have a lot of opportunity? Yes, we do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to say thank you so much for doing what you did. It means a lot. And thank you so much for coming for this interview as well.
I'm glad that you came to interview me, McKenna. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
That was good. Yeah. All right.
I feel so alive. Yeah, I should go fight someone.
Wasn't that cool?
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
That was awesome.
I hope that you're able to, you know, transpose it and make it into something good.
That was awesome. Thank you so much. Oh, I'm so happy.
Good.
All right.
All right.
Thank you for letting me take your time.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
I will see you tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow. How are things going?
Good. I just took a history test and I think I did well on, so.
Well, you know, just remember it's all up to you, okay? I mean, you know what to do. Mm-hmm. You just have to do it, okay?
Yeah.
Don't procrastinate.
You got it, mister.
Your brother home?
Yep.
Tell him I'm playing basketball with him this summer.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
we're
going
to go over to a team and shoot some hoops.
That's so fun. I'm going to tell him. I might call him right now.
Yeah, call him.
All right.
All right, see you later.
Bye, see you.